For several days, we have been using. Yeah, come closer.
Please, Prabhu, please have it up front. Maharaj wants everybody here in the front.
Shoot, kind of.
The closer you come, the closer you go to Krishna and Lotus.
Don't worry, we are vegetarian. Come closer. We only eat the host. Books are the basis. So, a nice song. This is by Narottam Das Thakur, and he's a disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj and Lokanath Maharaj. And he's also he has his form in the spiritual world. He's Manjari, little gopi. And that is so many beautiful songs. This is the one song book called, I think it's called Partana. It's a song book like that. Very nice songs. And they're organized into different feelings. And of course, the first feeling is detachment from the material world, right? And so he has a series of songs about that, about how the material world is a nasty place. Then after that, songs about becoming attached to Krishna, and then different feelings and mellows, and how to develop these things. So this is a song about, Prabhupada says it's progressive development. First we become informed about Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga. And by associating these pastimes, activities, we become ecstatic, right? And then after that, we get the mercy of Nityananda, right? And this is a guru. Yeah, that Krishna can come into this world. God can incarnate. It's a whole different thing. And then after that, mercy of Nityananda, then we give up our material attachment. We lose our attachment from material things. We become great saints and sages. And then, by the mercy of the six Goswamis, we can actually enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
Gauranga bolite hame Bhulaka share Hari hari bolite Nayane babe yara
Gauranga bolite hame
Thank you.
Jaya Radha Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda Govinda, Madana Mohan.
So we've been discussing the Upadesh Amrita of Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. There it is, like that. And again, summarizing, Rupa Goswami and his two brothers. What were the names of his two brothers?
Sanatan Goswami.
Anupam. What's his name for Ram? So they were very, you know, one description, very aristocratic Brahmins, high class people, very confident, very intelligent. And then the Nawab Hussein Shah, he wanted them to take charge of his governing his kingdom. He was conquering all these places. And Prabhupada said, both the Muslims and the British, they preferred Hindu administrators because they were not excessive. You know, when the Muslims or British were getting some position, they were drinking and having so many girlfriends. But the Hindus would eat more, you know, sambar or something. couldn't enjoy that much. They preferred having Hindu administrators, both the British and the Muslims. Because they were not excessive. And so Hussein Shah, according to one description, he came and said to Rupa, Sanatan, and everybody else, you must become home minister, finance minister, take charge of my government, run it properly. And they declined, saying, we can't, you know, associate with you, you're a Muslim, all your nasty habits. And he said, all right, if you decline, I will kill one Brahmin every day. Okay, we accept. You know. And so then they became Dabir Khas and Sakir Malik. So Sanatan Goswami became Sakir Malik, so the S's match up. Rupa Goswami became Dabir Khas. And they were, you know, still, you know, living at the height of aristocratic pleasure. How does it go? Chakyat vaturnam asesh mandalapati shrinyam sada tuksavat. Mandalapati, they were the masters of the circle of society. They had fine bungalows with beautiful parties, with musicians playing wonderful music and the finest incense burning. People arriving in beautiful ivory carriages pulled by matched horses, clapping along the cobblestones. And, you know, there's nothing like it now. You know, like that. So they were leaders of all this, you know, the poetry in Persian, Arabic, everything, so many, you know, beautiful things. But they weren't happy. You know, ontologically, they said, we don't know who we are. We have all these external things, but we don't know who we are. You know? And so then they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, and he blessed them. And eventually they were able to get out of their materialistic entanglement like that. Because then people see, you know, they do, well, husband and wife, whatever, they want to live simply. Why do we need this, you know, 8-bedroom house like that or something, or stock options or something? You know. Yeah, different people, you know. When Nimai was in Vrindavan, Nimai, Pandit, young guy there, I don't even think he was even married then. He was still pretty young. And so he kept saying, oh, my father is coming. My father is coming. To himself and crying like that. His friends, his boyfriends didn't know what was happening. He said, oh, Pundarik, my father is coming. He's coming. So I asked him, what's happening? He said, oh, my father is coming. So then there's one devotee, Pundarik Vidyaneri. And he's from the same village as Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya's friend. But he's older, he's an adult person. So he would come from this village sometime, and he had a house on the bank of the Ganga. And he was so disturbed to see people washing their hair and brushing their teeth and spitting into the Ganga and stuff. He couldn't go out during the daytime. But at nighttime he would go do his puja for the Ganga and stuff. Then he was a very, very great devotee. But he didn't want to become known as a great devotee. So Mukunda was going to take Gadadhar, and they're both like, I don't know, 12 years old or something like that, to go see Pundarik, who's from this village, like his father. So they went there, and all the servants, they knew Mukunda. They said, oh, Mukunda, come to see the master. Oh, very good, very nice to see you. We'll be happy to see you. So they took him in, and there was Pundarik Vidyaneri. He was lying on a couch like this, you know, smoking from his hookah, taking chocolates, that his hair oil and rings and stuff like that, you know. And so when Gadadhar saw this, he looked at Mukunda like, what have you brought me to see? This guy's a complete, you know, sensualist like that. And why have you brought me here? So Mukunda is waiting. So then they went up to them and his servant says, oh, Mukunda's here with a friend. And I'm like, oh, very nice. He said, Mukunda, good to see you like that. And then Mukunda started offering prayers from the 10th canto, describing Krishna's beauty like that. And then Pundrik Vijayanidhi went into an ecstatic state, and he began just to smash the furniture, tear his clothes off, everything else. And Mukunda didn't expect this to happen. He thought maybe he would become a little bit ecstatic. And then the servants run in, and they start grabbing him. And it took five people to subdue him like that, five people to hold him down like that. He was just like screaming Krishna, just smashing everything like that. Then after 2 hours, he came back to normal consciousness. Gadadhar and Mukunda all waiting there. And he came back to normal consciousness and saw things and said, oh my goodness. He said, I have a mental disease. I have some kind of mental disease and sometimes I act like this. And Gadadhar was saying, you haven't got a mental disease. You have Krishna prema. And I'm a big offender because I was thinking you're an ordinary materialist and I was rejecting you. And the only way I can possibly compensate for this is if you'll accept me as your disciple and your servant. Like that. So Pundra Vijay is talking a little bit. He says, well, all right. So Gadadhar internally is Radharani, and Pundra Vijay is Vrishabhanu, like that. So it's a very natural relationship. So that's an example of somebody in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes who is maintaining all this opulence, wealth, for different reasons like that. But then Rupa and Sanatan, their service was to get free from all this and to engage in the external formalities of Krishna Bhajan without deviation like that. Just eat the bare minimum, keep the minimum shelter. One time Jiva Goswami was living in an abandoned crocodile hole. A crocodile in a hole, and he was living there and eating whatever attar flour he could get. We just mix it with water and drink it. After some time he had an ulcer. So that was your thing. Chakras, Turna, Masesha, Mandala, Piti, Shrenim, Sadat, Uchabat, Bhutvadina, Ganesha, Ko, Karunaya, Kopina, Kanta, Shrita. Kopina, this is undergarments. Kanta? Quilt. You take old dhotis that have holes in them, put them in trash, wash them, put them on top of each other, a few saris, and then you stitch them all together. In English, this is called a quilt. Like that. Okay. Keeps you warm, does the job. Other people may say, oh, that's my sari. That's my yogi. That's how they were living. Before they were prime ministers. Unbelievable wealth. And they gave it all up. So Prabhupada says, you can't do that. He said there was one minister in South India, one big lawyer, like high court lawyer, Supreme Court lawyer. And then when the Gandhi's non-cooperation movement started, he just renounced his job. He wouldn't be a justice for the British anymore. He took his salary. And before he had big house with 40 servants and so much responsibility and people coming to every day. And he was living alone with his wife and one servant in one little place like that. He was able to support with his pension. And Papa said after 2 years he died. Because he did this lack of stimulation like that. So Papa said, you cannot give up like this. You cannot renounce all this stimulation and connection like that. So what do they get? Chapa Tur Namasation, Kopina Kanta Shvita, Gopi Bhava, Ras Amrit Abdi Lahari, Kalola, Magnamur. They were drowning and surfacing in the ebb and the flood of the gopis' love for Krishna. Yeah. The gopis have arranged, little girls, they've arranged a very, very nice picnic for Krishna. And they spent 3 hours dressing Radharani, trying this, trying that, everything else until, and she's sitting there with her casual look. And they've been practicing for weeks for different songs and things they're going to do like that. And the recipe, they got everything. They make these flower cottages, cottages out of flowers, So different colors, different fragrances. And so it's a whole thing arranged. And Krishna's supposed to come at 12 o'clock. And maybe wanted to be Madhur Mangal, like that. So 12 o'clock, Krishna's not there. Well, things happen, okay. 12:15, Krishna's not there. What's happening? The flowers are starting to look bad. 12:30, Krishna's not there. So 12:40, one small group he comes running. I know where Krishna is. No.
Where is he?
He's at Chandravali's house eating cookies. So how is Radharani going to react? She may become furious, you know. And, you know, this every death personified gets out of the way when she becomes purified. Everybody just runs and she becomes angry. It's this, no, wave. You know, Kalola Magnamahor. It's like a tsunami. You know? But on the other hand, she may become completely devastated. You know, tell her friend, this is because she loves him more than we do. That's why she has him under his control, you know. So she may become completely devastated and humble and, you know, so these different sentiments and emotions, the gopis are like the tidal waves. This is what they got. You know? They sacrificed all these things, but they got this love and feelings of the gopis like that. Very, very rare. I mean, practically speaking, Lord Chaitanya is the first person to really reveal this. Other people too. Madhurya Ras was also there, and Chandidas, Vidyapati, Jayadeva Goswami, before our line like that. Very nice too. But it's a very confidential aspect of life. You know, this is higher sentiments and religious ecstasy. It's also in Christian tradition like that. But it's very confidential. Even to hear about it, what to speak of, you know, to becoming absorbed in that kind of consciousness. My effulgence is too great. Yeah. 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 So Rupa Goswami, you know, they were masters of all this opulence and prestige, honor, fame. He left it all. And then what did he do? He's a very busy guy. They constructed beautiful temples. They organized different activities. And especially literature. And probably his books were the basis. In books you get movies, you get ways of living, you get political parties, you get cities, you get all these things. They all come from books. There's one book called The Mysteries of the Universe. Have you heard this book? Or not? It was written by one biologist named Heckel. Heckel, I think. You know. It was after World War I, before World War II. And his idea, because, see, the idea was we've discovered where all the species come from. All the different species come from evolution. And there's, you know, genetic permutations, and there's survival of the fittest, and we get different species developing like that. Okay. So now, well, the same thing must be true for society, right? There are different societies form, and they compete, and then the best societies survive, the best races and societies survive. Right? It was called social Darwinism. Social Darwinism. And especially this one professor, he was spreading the idea, and he had many Nobel laureates who were his followers, and they had a big movement publication. His principal book was this book, Secrets of the Universe. I think he printed 100,000 copies, which at that time was beyond belief. You know, there were many different languages like that. And very influential. You know? And he even directly says that, you know, certain inferior races should be given a quick and painless death to accelerate the evolution of society. It was a very heavy program like that. You know? And so then, it was a book. It was just a philosophy, an idea. But then one politician, his name was Adolf Schickelgruber. You know him? He took it up as a political party and developed it. And he changed his name to Adolf Hitler. Because, you know, Heil Schickelgruber doesn't like, you know, kind of, you know, Heil Hitler. You know, yeah. And then, if you've ever read the history of World War II, you know, it's unbelievable. The suffering and slaughter and brutality is unbelievable. You know, what happened during that war, unbelievable. But it all started with an idea, a philosophy. We're motivated by that. So books are the basis. Yeah? And if we have some idea about what's going on, you'll see Krishna will start sending people to you to ask questions. You start getting in situations where you have to explain to people what is right and what is wrong. Like that. You know, yeah, it happens a little bit here, a little bit there, but many, many people, it's like grass growing. The grass grows, and every architect knows that can push over a big building, right? It's the grass, eventually, it keeps on growing like that. You know? So the Prabhupada's philosophy is books. And people get them. They read a little bit, they get an idea. Like that. Yeah. So, out of all these different literatures Rupa Goswami produced, Upadeshamrita is a summary like that, right? It's 11 verses, but everything, the most simple ideas up to the most esoteric, in just 11 verses like that. You know? 11 steps to Los Angeles. Hang on. You know? Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, you know, what I've discussed so far is basically just the Prabhupada's preface, like that. You know? And then we discussed text number 1, 2, 3. Text number 1, he says, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to... We got this out. Control his mind and senses. Forget about everything else. It's this basic ethical thing, you know. And of course, everybody, you know, has senses. Everybody has. He's identifying 6 pushes, right? All starting with the tongue. Everybody wants to taste something, you know. Just try fasting, living on this unsalted khichdi for a week, and see what you're just dying to taste things, you're smelling things. You know, tongue is just dying. Okay, so you taste things. And I was walking in Vrindavan one time. You know, it's narrow streets, and there's an open sewer, you know, along the side of the road, and different stores, dukan, open like that. And the guy's sitting there, kind of robust guy, with his woods piled around him. And it was a sewer, and I was coming down the road this way. There was a rock, like about this big. And on the rock was this little puppy, like that. He was standing up like this, holding on. And there was a big chunk of gore there. And he was like this, you know. He just stretched as far as he could go, and he was looking like that. And the guy couldn't see him like that. So I just, like, I went like that. And he just fell over into the gutter on his back. And he was just lying there, smiling. I guess he'd been doing it for a long time. The guy looked at me, he wasn't doing it. So yeah, it's just so nice, you know. And after you have stimulated with enough sweet, then you want some salty, and you know, like that. So much, you know, jiva, there you go. And if you let that go, then of course your stomach becomes agitated, then you're agitated with sex desire, you lose that control back, and you go to hell. You know, just one after another, like that. So supply prasad at regular times. Cook for Krishna, austerity. And afterwards, if there's anything left, taste it. And associate with Krishna. And then on the other hand, the tongue that goes up has what we're talking. You know, everyone wants to talk. He tries sometimes to stop talking. His light is so stimulating. So many nerves in the mouth for human beings. Chimpanzee, you know. Human being has so many fine, you know, so many distinctions like that you can experience. Sanatana Goswami says that if you're traveling, if you can't wash anything else, wash your mouth. You just try to rinse your mouth out right away. So many nerves are stimulated, your whole body becomes purified. And of course, it's better also wash your hands and face. Yeah. It's the mouth. Yeah. And then talking, always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. What happens? The cerebral cortex becomes activated. The brain starts to, the mind starts to look at the cerebral cortex. What's happening down there? So what you talk about, you think about. Bhaktisiddhanta serves what he said. They say nonsense speech leads to nonsense thoughts, leads to nonsense habits, leads to repeated birth, death, disease, and old age. So you talk about baseball scores or football scores or stock options or cars or power, prestige in my community, you know. And you start thinking about that. You're dreaming about it. Yeah? Yeah. Very quickly, just a few days, you stop talking about something, you just very quickly, your mind will start shifting to something else. But of course, some of these, the mind is very big. Yeah? The mind is our body of ideas. Right? Everybody here has a body of knowledge. You get a gross body, right? But you also have a body of knowledge. How many people do you know, like, about at least one sentence about it? Abraham Lincoln, who was he?
Well, one of the presidents of U.S.
Anything about it? No.
Yeah, Civil War.
Yeah? What did he look like?
Had a beard.
Yeah?
I think he was from Illinois.
Short guy?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, so Abraham Lincoln, you know something about it. How many people this name, if I start listing names, how many names do you think you know that you can say something about? 20 people? 200? 2,000? Maybe 2,000 people, you know, right? Any more than that. The off-Hitler usually is. See, that's just one analogy. How much do you actually know? Right? How big is your body of knowledge? Like that? Well, that's just names. What about places? What about, you know, systems of analysis, ways of thinking about things? You learn arithmetic algebra. So how big is that? You know? And also, it's not something that you lose when you die completely. You take some of that as below the level of the consciousness. You take it with you. It's like that. You know? Your car is finished. You have to get a new car. But you take your, you get that car because you have that money, you have that bank account, you have that character. You get this pickup truck, you know, or you get a luxury car, or you get a sports car, you get a bicycle, okay? Depending on your karma and your desire, your nature, like that. No? So same way, this subtle body goes with us to our next life. Okay? And we get an appropriate body to express it like that. No? So we have to go, you know, by talking, chanting, then the mind becomes purified. We can go deeper and deeper and deeper into the mind. And then we start doing actually working directly at the level of the mind, and the intelligence, and finally the soul. Yeah. Does the body get diseases?
No.
Prabhupada says the body does not get diseases. The body is a disease. Yeah. It's a cancer growing on the soul. You know? It's got its roots and filaments going down into the soul and it's sucking the life out and taking it into this material world. Through the intelligence, the mind, through this sense of space perception, all these things, and we become absorbed in this combination of elements like that. You know? It's like water in a sponge. Yeah, this example is given in the Vedas that you have an agricultural pond, and then grass starts to grow in it, and after a while there's no more water. Is it still there? Is the water still there? Yeah. Where is it? It's in the grass. Yeah. So same way, if you let your mind just wander over the objects of sense gratification, you know, for pleasure, after a while you'll just become absorbed. There'll be no more thoughts. you'll just be sensuous or consciousness like that. So chitta is there, consciousness is there, but it's just absorbed in the body like that. And of course, if you're a software engineer, you can design a whole system to make this work. So, you know, so all the operating system is completely absorbed in the input-output apparatus. Nothing else but that. You know? Right? Yeah. Was it computer design? It comes from introspection. Yeah. Introspection, you see how my mind is working, how I do things, and externalize it in some system like that. Yeah. But yes, yeah, so we have to, pranchahara, we have to come out of the senses, at different levels of senses. We have to come out of our thoughts. We have to come out of our perspectives. We have to go back to the source. Yeah? Ishwara aham, aham bodhi, siddham, balavan, sukhi. Right? Can I say it again? Every day on your beads, we chant 16 rounds. So is that our philosophy?
No.
No. Is it true? I'm the controller? This is many times Prabhupada's talking to people, many times he'll talk about this point, just to, are you the controller? He'll start talking about that. And a person's saying, he'll realize, well, no, actually I'm not the controller. The next thing is there a controller? Yes, there certainly seems to be a controller, you know, like that. And so, very logical. You can go a long way. Rupa Goswami's first advice is Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yah Vishaheta Dira, Sarvam Api Mam Pritidim Sasha. Yeah, somebody you can control the desire to talk, pushes the mind in anger, pushes the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So he says, engage all these pushes in the service of Krishna. Yeah. Take Krishna prasad, dance for Krishna, sing for Krishna, make plans for Krishna. Right? Love and hate for Krishna. Yeah? Goswami, Bhagavad Das Goswami says, I don't even want to hear the name Chandravali. Rather than his competitor, Chandravali. Yeah? So feeling for Krishna. Yeah? And then text number 2 and 3, he talks about 6 things that will make this very difficult. Engaging your senses in Krishna service. And 6 things will make it very easy. Discuss that. In text 4, 5, 6 we discussed, and he talks about Sarasanga or Sangha, association. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. Oh, the different. Probably uses it differently here. Our desires and ambitions develop from the company we keep. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. So whoever you associate with, you develop the same kind of desires and ambitions. How do we associate with people? There's six ways to do it. Yeah. English.
Giving and accepting.
Gifts.
Yeah. And sharing secrets or confidential knowledge.
Yeah.
And eating and offering.
Yeah, sharing special food, sharing gifts like that. Chanakya Pandit says, there's no expression of love like a gift. You can find that what someone likes, you can find something like that, you can make them your friend just forever. You find something you really like and you never know how to get it, it's not this form. Just always remember you like that. So yeah, this is how we associate. And from that we develop the same desires and ambitions as the people with whom we associate. As an associate. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. We discussed it yesterday. And of course it's universal, but then he also applies it to devotees. And he said there's three classes of devotees. You know, Kanista, Madhyama, Uttama. Kanista Adhikari is somebody who goes to God when he needs something. I need this, I need that, God give me this, God give me that. Out of fear, out of desire. But as soon as that's taken care of, then you forget to get back and fulfill your promise. There's one story in English called God's Little Green Acre. And the story was this man, he had a big farm, and he said, okay, I'm going to give 1 acre and just for God, like whatever produced there would be for the church. But different things started happening in terms of discovering this, and he kept changing God's acre. There was one guy, Bogilal Patel, Subhan Marjorie, Bogilal Patel, or Gopal Bhan. So one day, Bogilal Patel was coming home from the market with a nice collection of grains and thinking, how much he's going to enjoy himself. And a big wind came and blew all the grains into the field. And he says, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Or another same, similar story. Two friends were walking to the theater in San Francisco. I cut through the alley because it was bigger. The man jumped out with a gun and a mask and said, give me your money. So they're both shaking. They took their wallets out. And one man said, you know that $100 I owe you? Here's the $100 I owe you. Like that. So he paid back the $100. So yeah, this is devotion, dedication. But it's Kanista Adhikari. And we discussed this more in detail yesterday. Two classes, those who want to give it up and become regular devotees, and those who don't want to. Those who don't want to, okay, you think he's praying to God, he's got some indication there, but then Krishna will take care of him. We don't share confidential things about him, we don't talk about these things, eat. But then somebody actually is taking shelter of an acharya and taking formal relationship, initiation. And he's engaged in Vaishnava and worshiping Thakur, the form of Krishna, then we shall be ready to pay our obeisances. So Niskan is the second initiation. The devotees amongst themselves should pay their obeisances. They may have material desires, but they're under control, right? And diminishing, like that. Because you can see, I have to control myself. I smell this, I taste this, I see that, but I want to do something, but by my intelligence, I can remain pure, like that. The Uttama Adhikari is just a matter of habit. His heart is pure, he is spontaneous, he doesn't like nasty things. As soon as he hears some criticism of people, it's like burning, just doesn't like it. Without even thinking about it. He's always just inclined to find Krishna, how to see Krishna, how to serve Krishna, see Krishna smile. Like that. And of course, then it gets more and more intense like that. So it's what he describes in text number 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, sense control. 4, 5, 6, association. So 7 and 8. Fantastic. Yeah. You can text her. You can buy this book from Kubera or something. We can chant together if you got here. Krishna Nama Charitari.
Sat Krishna Nama Charitari.
Sitapi Avidya.
Sitapi Avidya.
Pitopatapta Rasanasya.
Pitopatapta Rasanasya.
Narochik Anu.
Narochik Anu.
Kinvadrat Anudinam.
Kinvadrat Anudinam.
Kalu Saiva Jushta.
Kalu Saiva Jushta.
Svadvi Kramad Bhavati.
Svadvi Kramad Bhavati.
Tadgata Mulahantri.
Tadgata Mulahantri.
Tanama Rupa Charit Adi. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. This is text number 8. It's the same thing, but it's just the next step. Turn next one right there, it's on page 72. And again, the same thing. Tanama Rupa Charitadi.
Tanama Rupa Charitadi.
Sukirtananu.
Sukirtananu.
Smriti Ho Kramena Rasana.
Smriti Ho Kramena Rasana.
Manasini Yoja.
Manasini Yoja.
Tishtan Vrajeta Anuragi.
Tishtan Vrajeta Anuragi.
Jana Anugami.
Jana Anugami.
Kalem Nayer Akalim. Iti Upadesh Sasharam.
Iti Upadesh Sasharam.
So this book is Upadesh Amrita. So this verse is Upadesh Sasharam. The essence of everything. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, form, qualities, and pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. Tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So the first text is Sambandha. Right? Arjuna is attached to Draupadi, to Maya, wants to please his wife. She'll be happy with me when I defeat these rascals. And but then Krishna says he's going to become a karmi, not a bikarmi, decent person, and get revenge. And but then Krishna shows him, this means that Dronacharya, Bhishma, they have to all die. And he thinks, and also my nephews, I'm going to kill my nephews. Like that. And even Duryodhana, God, and these guys, he's a rascal, but he's my cousin. So at that point, Krishna, by being Madan Mohan, attracts him away from Cupid and Draupadi and turns him towards himself. Like that. So this is Sambandha Gyan, getting away from the material world and turning to Krishna. So Tanama Rupa Acharya, in the beginning we're so absorbed in talking about the material world and all these things, and in the 2 hours of watching the television is nothing but 2 hours of hearing a Bhagavad Gita lecture sound like maybe hell. But as we go on, the Krishna book, so many stories of Krishna's pastimes. So many wonderful things. There's one section called Prayers but a Personified Vedas. It's about 70 pages of just like philosophy. So whenever I come to that, I go, oh my God, look at this. But I look at the commentaries of the Acharyas and Vishwanath Chakravarti and Nartam. When they come to this, like, oh wow, 70 pages of philosophy. Because they have a higher taste for these intricacies of ideas, intellectual enjoyment. When I was doing Nirjala Kadasi, my mind was getting like that. It was no gross activity. So you really start getting into these subtle intellectual things like that. So he's recommending, it's the best yoga. You can do so many yogas. But the best yoga is just hearing and chanting about Krishna, about Jehovah, about Allah. Yeah, all these, Socrates says the same thing. The best thing is every day hearing. And so, in the beginning, it's difficult. So you have to apply it scientifically. Scientifically, Prabhupada says, for us, 16 malas, right? Get up early, chant early, some kirtan. Right? Chanting and dancing with your hands over your head like a bear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was doing this in Calcutta. It was the hottest summer in 20 years in Calcutta. And we had almost no money. The third story was flat, no windows. And I had to survive in this and preach, you know, go organizing a science congress. And I was like even skinnier than I am now. It was just unbelievable. Man. Unbelievable. And I was taking Calcutta buses in the hottest summer in 30 years. You know. Take your wrist like this. Now, what do this? Experiment. Grab your wrist. Take it. Now, squeeze as hard as you can. Now, you may know this. This is what it's like on a Calcutta bus. Have you experienced this? No? In India? Some of these buses? Yeah, it's just like you, person next to you is sleeping, you know, standing up. You know. And everybody kind of groans. You look and there's some very robust fellow getting on the bus down and everybody goes, oh my God. And you can feel it all the way down like that. Like, so everybody knows everybody else. Yeah. So I was following this bhakti yoga. Amazing. You know? I would get up at, you know, Mangal Arati, 4 o'clock. Even nobody else got up, I would get up and I was sitting there chanting and dancing, my hands over my head. And I had to balance very carefully because I went too much to one side or the other, I just fall over, literally. I just like, you know. Then my mind was saying, why are you dancing? Why are you singing? And then my intelligence would start to give these good reasons about we'll be successful, this will happen, and my mind will become cheerful, and then I will singing and dancing. So I could see how the yoga. Prabhupada says every single aspect, for every single principle in the Ashtanga Yoga system, there's a corresponding principle in the Bhakti Yoga system. So we do pranayama by chanting and dancing. So you have to do it. Put your hands over your head and chant and dance for Krishna. In the beginning, it may be no taste. But if you go on applying it, okay, chant and dance, 15, 20 minutes, bhajan, kirtan, then do your job like that. Sometimes the sun starts to come up, very nice, you know, a little more arti for Krishna. You read some books like that, and you cook for Krishna. And that way your consciousness is very much ready to start the day. Who am I? What's supposed to happen like that? Not going to think about things. So very powerful yoga like that. But we have to, if a name, Nam Namakari Bahudani Sarva Shakti. So names are always effective, they're always potent, they always work. So why do we follow so many rules and regulations? It's just like eating, right? If you eat food, it'll always have a reaction. One biologist in the university told me you could probably go like 5 years just eating beer and potato chips. Living in a bar, just eating potato chips and beer, probably be 5 years before you die, like that. You know? So yeah, but if you eat properly, there's a more effect, quicker. So you chant properly, right? There's more effect. So Prabhupada recommends, you know, rise early in the morning for Mangal Arati. After that, then a little kirtan, do your job, and read books by acharyas, and then do some karma yoga in the daytime. What is my nature, my job, housewife, businessman, administrator? Do it and sacrifice results to Krishna. And then by that process, what happens? In the beginning, you understand, I better do this or I'll go to hell or something. I want to love Krishna. I've had a taste by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. I had a taste. And I want that. You know? So you do it. But after some time, you know, you begin to get a taste of that. You actually begin to appreciate this. This is nice. I like this. You know? And then what? Next text. Right? You know? Then you start to actually, he says, okay, now to cultivate this, you go on the same process, nama, rupa, charit, Sangha, Leela. Right? You go on, and now you start, how do you cultivate it? You live in Vrindavan. Make your house into Vrindavan. Live in the temple, yeah? And take shelter of an advanced devotee. So this is Raganuga Bhakti. In the beginning of sadhana, sadhana bhakti is practicing. Practicing, practicing. It has two aspects. Vaidhi, rules and regulations. Muhammad gives rules and regulations. Jesus gives rules and regulations. You may not know that from the Christian's activities, but he gives a lot of rules and regulations that should be followed. And so Prabhupada gives us a very nice standard coming from Rupa Goswami like that. You know? If you do this, you become liberated. You become always happy. I remember I was in a devotee for like 7 years. Suddenly I remember I was in our office in the second floor of the Bhaktivedanta Institute in San Francisco. Suddenly I realized I'm never unhappy. You know? I'm never unhappy. When I become unhappy, my mind just adjusts like that, you know? I say, wow, I'm never happy. You know? And it happens. You come to this point where you don't become influenced. Before, you're lamenting and crying and anxiety and you know, sometimes you come to this point where you're always liberated. Na sochati, na kamchati. And then, in that stage, okay, now we can start to cultivate our real positive attachment to Krishna. So you can go on following rules and regulations that will take you all the way to Vaikuntha. But you can accelerate the process with Tananugami by finding an advanced devotee. You can follow the raga of Hanuman. Right? How would Hanuman deal with this situation? Pick up the car and start smashing another automobile. I'm at business. My business. Okay, time for Hanuman. Or Subal. Or the gopis. And by this time, we're already Goswamis. We're starting to find just the literature we need, the association we need to appreciate this. How does Mother Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? How do the cowherd boys have lunch with Krishna? Same noontime offering for Radha Madhava, but now you're starting to, you want this. I want to do this. Even if I don't feel something, I want to feel something. Let me at least pretend. This is Radha Buddha. Yeah. Prabhupada says we have to learn the little art of crying for Krishna. And then practice right now. I'm going to cry. That's not Sahajya. This is Radha Buddha. I'm trying to do this. I should feel something. Let me at least pretend that I'm feeling something. So you're doing this Raga Nuga, and you're going to Sankirtan, distributing books. I should be compassionate to people. You're trying to think about certain things, and how does Nityananda do this, and great book distributors. And at some point, you actually feel real compassion. Right? And as this comes out, and you're just like, almost crying, you're approaching people, please take this book. People are like, shh, okay, I'll take it. Okay, I'll take it. Please don't cry. And it's like, at that point, it's just people, they have two options. You either run away or else participate. So Prabhupada comes out of that. So this is called Bhava Bhakti. Now we're beyond Sadhana Bhakti. Now we don't need any more matches to start the fire. Now you're a fool if you're tossing matches on him. No, now we need some real wood, proper air, not too much wood, the air has to be this right. So this is Bhava Bhakti Yoga. The real feelings are there, but they're immature. Krishna can't reciprocate with them yet. You want to protect Krishna, Vatsalya, Rati, but it's not intense enough for Krishna really to reciprocate with it. So now we've got to fan it, we've got to increase it. And there's all kinds of descriptions about that. And nectar and devotion. This is little brother of nectar and devotion. It's a summary. So he describes how to fan that. And finally, when it's fully manifest, it's what? Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti?
Prema bhakti.
Prema bhakti. This is our normal condition. And at that point, whoever you come in contact with again, they have no choice but to surrender to Krishna or else go away. It's such an intense personality at that point. So many details. But in these two verses, he goes to this, Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya, and then Raga Nuga, not Prayojana, how to come to that stage, which is Sambandha Abhideya, Raga Nuga. It's Raga Nuga. And the purport probably expands the ideas. So the beginning, Nama Rupa Charitari. 24 hours a day, and folks probably gives us regular ISKCON schedule. Get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock or so, hour and a half before sunrise, then take a bath, worship your deities, okay, simple, incense, flower, have some kirtan, and then chant your rounds. And people chant differently. There's so many ways to chant japa. I think we've had some seminars there. Then after that, there's some lights you read. And different people like different books. And then prasad, and then you're ready. You can do karma yoga. Do whatever you can do for Krishna. Not dog hard. Nicely. If you're having to work dog hard, you're in Maya. Maybe some special case. God does not require that. You should be working in a healthy fashion, and then you give the results to Krishna. And then you can come home, take a bath, take a prasad, have some kirtan. Talk about Krishna, drink sufficient milk, and go to bed and dream about Krishna. 24 hours a day. You see, it happens. Dream about all the politics in the temple. But it's still devotees. Now you're still dealing about Krishna. Now we see this. What is it? Diti wants to kill Aditi's children. You know, so she has a sacrifice. So Vamanadeva becomes her son and everything else like that. So this is you know, this is what's happening in this higher planetary system. So, Diti and Aditi are fighting over who's going to pick the Sunday feast menu and design the Jamastami outfit and, you know, kind of kill each other's children or something. Character assassination. And Vamanadeva comes and tries to. So yeah, it's going on. We get more and more subtle problems as we go higher like that. And as we find the Bhagavatam like that. And then, you know, taking shelter of Raghunuga then. Those are places after that Raghunuga. So any comments? Questions? It's okay. Yes, sir.
True. You were saying, I think, the other day about we're so attached to breathing and prana.
Yeah.
But that we should have that same attachment for the holy name of God.
Yeah.
How do you develop? Well,
Krishna can help us by giving us a heart attack. I know two different devotees who've gone through that. Hansabuddha was one of them. Yeah. But you see, when you're chanting kirtan, when it's a really intense kirtan, you're playing dramas and singing like that, it's just you start to get that taste. You know. Again, this is ruchi. You know, all different levels of Vishwadasa, Sadhu Sangha, Ajna Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi. Now, I mean that taste for the names. It begins at a stage, high stage. Maybe you get some time, a little bit. You just realize these names are substantial. These names are just like a material thing. And you lose it again. So basically, follow the process. You know, asking Papa many times, Papa basically saying, is this 16 good rounds every day? And as you begin to figure out, okay, get up in the morning. Okay, read books. Okay, you know, don't in the daytime, don't, you know, sneak a quick look at, you know, all these different literatures and, you know, listen to this and that junk, you know. I don't know. Okay. Yeah? And then if I suggest, okay, you understand certain things, or probably get so many details, you know, about how to chant 16 better rounds. And of course, you start chanting all the time. You become just more and more accustomed to it. All the time you're chanting about Krishna. We're discussing this, how can you do 24 hours a day? You can try and chant 24 hours a day. Even while you're talking to people, you can be chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Yep. Yeah. I mean, all the time we're talking to people and thinking about something else. You know. Yeah. So how much do you want? You want 25 grams? Okay, it's over there. So we always, the mind can go. You don't have to pay 100% attention to the gross world. The gopis were doing their household affairs, you know, little girls, and then they heard Krishna's flute, you know, like that. And they started to talk to each other confidentially about what was happening. And then internally they started to remember their personal, individual, intimate pastimes with him, so they couldn't even talk to each other properly about Krishna, or to speak within their household duties. They got them done somehow or other. And, you know, specifically I know devotees who 40% of their time at work they were doing temple projects. I think I promoted. Krishna and Justin, everybody was so happy with their work like that. Yeah. Yeah. So more and more, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in the court. And some widow was being exploited by people, taking her family members, or taking her family, her house, and all this kind of stuff, and she's being, you know, abused, you know, economically and everything else. She's having to beg for mercy from the judge. So what is he saying? He's saying, oh, this is one cow. She's being attacked by the wolves and jackals in the forest, and I'm a cowherd boy, and I have to help Krishna protect this cow from these wolves and stuff. You know? So he was, you know, Astakalya Lila. All the acharyas had this, what does Krishna do during different times of the day? And then began to meditate on this. This is Raghunuga. But after a while, you see it's not just a meditation. This is actually what's happening. Every single drama in the material world is simply a reflection of the original dramas in the loka, and you can do this like that. And you begin to see that you're helping Krishna. And sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. After the battle of Kurukshetra was over, you know, Duryodhana was dead, and the Pandavas were so happy it's finished. And Krishna said, no, more problems. What is that? Now we have to seek Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. So oh, that's going to be painful. So he went back and he told Bhima, Duryodhana has this metal statue of you in the gymnasium you used to beat on. Go bring it. Okay. So they go there, there's Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. And he said, oh, Yudhishthira's here, everybody, you know. So Dhritarashtra says, oh, it's my son, Bhima. And he says, yes, I'm here. Yeah. And he says, oh, you must be very happy that you've gotten revenge and you killed so many of my sons like that. You know, come here, I want to embrace you. Yeah. So he tries to go, and Krishna says, no, the statue. So he pushes the statue up, and Dhritarashtra feels it and crushes it like that. This steel thing, blood coming out of his arms, and people are looking, you know. And then he stops and he starts just crying. He says, oh my God. First I rebel against my elder brother, and then I cause the death of my own children, and now I kill my older brother's own son. This is all my fault. And Krishna says, no, it's okay, he's not dead. And he really embraces him, and it's okay. Ah. So then he feels happy. And then Gandhari says, oh, Yudhishthira, my son Yudhishthira, you must be very proud now that you're the king like that. So come here, I want to see you. So he goes forward and Krishna says, no. So he lies down on the ground, Dandabhasya. So she raises her veil like that, and she sees that he's lying on the ground at her feet, like that, he's not standing up like the pride. And so she, you know, lowers her thing like that. But she saw his fingertips. And his fingertips almost caught on fire, and they bleached white from her gaze. And like that. So, but just because she looked at his whole body, she was burning that. So I'm thinking, oh wow, it's all over. You know, Bhima, Yudhishthira. And Chris says, no. Now it's my turn. And Gandhari says, oh, Krishna, you promised you wouldn't take any part in this battle. You know, you wouldn't take any weapon. But you killed more of my family members than anybody else. So I curse you, you will lose your family. It's the same. And she also becomes repentant. And Krishna says, yes, I accept this. It's a fact. You know? He said, but you have to understand, it was very difficult. You know? The Kali Yuga is absolute evil. Right? It's God's negative side. The Kali Yuga is absolute evil. Like that. And so with the help of the Pandavas, I was able to save a little bit. But even I wasn't able to save everything. I had to do so many dirty tricks like that. And she says, okay, you know, you saved something. Like that, justice, honor, humility, gentleness. So they all go off to the palace. So same way, we can participate in these pastimes. You know, they're Christian, they're going on. You know, somebody's in your workplace, and you can see when you do Sankirtan. If I was just a little bit sharper, a little bit better, I could have saved this guy. But he slipped away. Yeah. So purification. And at that point, we're externally, we get some habits, okay? Every day before lunch, I read, I pull out my Chaitanya Charitamrita and I read 10 pages before lunch. Oh, you say, how amazing how it changes your consciousness. After 1 week, how many pages have you read?
70.
After 1 year?
3,600.
Yeah. So it's just 1 year. So nice. Okay, so like this. This is Vaidhi Bhakti. Find some way to increase your hearing and chanting. Okay, every night before we go to bed, we sit together, we read Krishna both together. Like that. Yeah. And we chant, I chant one extra round, I chant one round before I go to bed. So yeah, everybody has different tastes. Kirtan, chanting, bhajan. Yeah. So increase your hearing and chanting. Probably get so many suggestions as you go on reading, you know, how to do it. Like that. You know? And after a while, it starts to become more intense. We just, you know, you can't stop. For example, I'll put one devotee, actually Sri Ram, was not so good at the mind stories. Sri Ram, he was the first president in Russia and did so many things like that. He had his heart trouble, you know. So, you know, he had a heart attack, was in the hospital, they did the surgery for 2.5 hours to save him. So devotees went and saw him like that, and Karen and other people, maybe 3 devotees were in there, and his doctor came in, and was doing his rounds, and came by to see his patient, and he said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing better now like that, you know. He says, I know what you're doing. He says, what do you mean? You're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. This doctor's chanting, everybody in the whole hospital probably is thinking, look at what this guy's doing. And he smiles and he said, all the time we were doing surgery on you, you were like, you know, 90, supposed to be 90% unconscious. You just kept on chanting like that. It was just like, for 2 hours we're hearing that. So I would say that every single doctor, nurse, and surgeon, and anesthesiologist, knows that mantra now. And maybe we're going to have to use it sometime too, like that. But that was it. He was, body was falling apart, mind was falling apart. He was, getting it, taking shelter. So we're all going to have to face that, either by practice or... And of course, you can't do this through associative ordinary devotees sometimes. You can't start manifesting bhava and all these sentiments and ecstasies, and people think, oh, this isn't crazy, or it's an advanced devotee. So we start getting more and more confidential association, and we get all these things are gone. So, any final comments? Yeah, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
This
way we'll pass the night.
With your best intentions, when you want to chant Hare Krishna in an environment where you don't know the people, it's a stranger, and somebody gets offended, bothering you.
Yeah.
Would it be nice just not to do it because you're bothering someone?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, oh,
well,
this person
says,
no, I should just keep on doing it. I'm doing good.
I probably said one time, you have kirtan. Having kirtans, it was in Japan, they had a rented place like that. So just having kirtan chanting. And one landlady came complaining. And probably said, oh, now we know our chanting has effect. People start to complain, you can tell what's happening, some result like that. Yeah, Bhakti Chirumara one time was chanting in the airplane. And the person said, do you have to do that? He said, well, yes, but I can chant softer. And then the plane was shaking, and he started chanting and stuff, and the guy said, can you chant louder? Can you chant louder? Yeah, she'll be off the ground.
Because in the train, when I was traveling in India, and early morning, my habit, 3 o'clock, I was outside very softly chanting until half an hour away from this pass, and this lady come up. Could you please stop? You don't let me sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm in India. People are pious and religious. Somebody will appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, I got to be enough. Please shut up. You don't let us sleep at this time. Wow.
Yeah. No, so we try and chant, The devotee, generally, he sees five things. He loves God. He avoids the demons. Makes friendship with the devotees and preaches to the innocent. Four things. This is Madhya Madhakar. Uttam Madhakar is exactly the same. Madhya Madhakar is, okay, I'm supposed to love God. He's sort of better than the object. And I avoid the demons. Okay, so I'll chant softer. I just chant. I did do good sometimes. Okay, so Krishna's arranging. And then you actually start to see how hard it is, and you have to just chant in your mind and stuff, and tongue and jaw and moving and stuff like that. But so there's other times, sometimes the devotee should not forget to become angry, at least for some time, to drive the wrongdoers away, like that. You can tell people, look, you're talking to your family and everything else, all this nonsense, garbage, why can't I talk to God? Shut up and leave me alone. So it's a,
we do like that, I attract more people.
Yes, some people appreciate it. Other people, you actually usually find out, some people go, I don't like that. So it's a matter of judging the time, the place, the circumstance, the situation like that. So sometimes we just make accommodations, sometimes it's... And talk reasonably, they say, no, it's my duty. I'm not talking that loud. If you can't sleep, I'm making so little noise. The train is making more noise than I am. So if you can't sleep, it means you're not tired. You should go definitely do something else. And this Prabhupada says, make three arguments. Argue, they come back with a counter-argument. You argue again, they come back with a counter-argument. Third time, easy. Three intelligent arguments, almost everybody
capitulate. So again, it's a whole thing of just a time, a place, a circumstance. Sometimes we just accept and we just chant silently. Sometimes we talk easily to people and they accept. Other times, you know, we just, you know, become violent, at least for some time, to drive away the wrong beliefs.
Could you please share some of your Radha Krishna's divine love? You understand the meaning of divine love.
Oh my God. You want to understand Radha and Krishna's love. You want to suffer love. Long time. Long time. Yeah. No, we Brahmande Brahmate Kam Bhagyavan Ji. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Ladhani. And by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we went through so many species of life. I know this, I know that, I know hunting, I'm a falcon, I know, you know, whatever, I'm a god, I can control the wind, you know. So somehow or other we get in the situation where we're not being so much controlled by the remotes. At that point in time, the seed comes from the Guru and Krishna, by their mercy. And we see something. One fellow, he was taking prasad in the temple during a news conference. He was eating and he said, "Oh my God, this is good." He's like, so he was realizing, this is not ordinary food, you know. There's somebody else here, she says, Kirtana Prabhupada, so many experiences like that. Just something. You just realize something about this is real life, to love without any expectation of I want this, I want that. This is the life to be. Love, you know. And so then, you know, it doesn't be Radha and Krishna, it can also be Krishna the cowherd boys, or it's Jehovah, and God is very great. Prema can be in so many different rasas like that. And this conjugal rasa is more intense like that. So, you know. So we get an experience like that, and it's from somebody else. You know. And after that, we cultivate it. Go on like that. So, you know, it's basically, the basic principle to understand it is detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna. So that's what it's like. Just peace, liberation, no more material attachment, no tongue, belly and genitals, mind, desire, anger. That's Shantaras. Again, I actually can do something for Krishna without any desire. One time Prabhupada was talking about the love of God. He says, you know, somebody goes to the temple, they say, give me this, give me that, you know. And he said, this is not prema, this is not love. He said, it's good. You're accepting Krishna as potent. Krishna can do something. So it's good. Said, but it's not love, prema. He said, prema, there's no desire for anything. He said, the gopis did not want anything from Krishna. Like that on the tape, and then it just becomes quiet like that. And after a couple, you know, 20 seconds or something, the waves start like that. And after maybe 35 seconds, Prabhupada says, charge! So just remembering the gopis. This is called Vibhava. That was so much stimulation for his bhakti, he was just became, you know, stunned like that. The something about response. So that's, you know, prema. So he talks about it a little bit here, the nature of devotion. You know, Bhakti Rasamrita said we go through different feelings and sentiments and how they develop like this. And this is our natural condition, is just to give everything to Krishna. A pure devotee has no conception of personal selfish enjoyment. He cannot understand how it works. If you understand that people are involved in this, but he just cannot figure out how they can enjoy. So how do you do this? You know, his only conception is Krishna's. Yeah. So finally, stop. So tomorrow. Yeah, one last thing. Final thing. We were coming into Vrindavan on the Rajmundo Parikrama, and we go from Vrindavan through Puragat, you know, we come around to where the gopis fed, wives of the Brahmins fed Krishna. When it comes around, finally goes into Mathura. And we're coming into Mathura, and some people were like working and smoking meetings, and like, you know, who are these rascals causing this noise, disturbing us? You know? Other people were waving at us, you know, Rajmundo Parikrama, Rangrej Mandir, Rajmundo Parikrama. And so I was leading the kirtan at that point. And I was feeling a little intimidated by some of these, like, you know, mean-looking guys. You know? So my mind just naturally took shelter of Nama. And I started chanting, focusing more on the name, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And just thinking, okay, Nama, Rupa, well, where's the form? Oh, Nitai Chaitanya Chandra, they're with us here, right here, deities like that. So there they are, Nama. So see how it expands like that. If you're chanting properly, then you should start thinking of Krishna's form. You should be, where's, you know, okay, and you're chanting, you see the form, or it starts to manifest in so many ways. Nama, Rupa, and Guna, or Charit, qualities. Well, who are Gurdatta? This is my mind was expanding like this. They're Krishna and Balaram, right? And Nama, Rupa, Charit, Sangha, and we're their associates, you know? We're the cowherd boys coming into Mathura with Krishna and Balaram, like that, you know? So they became fearless. They were looking at these rascal guys like the warrior man that Krishna killed. Yeah, better watch out. Yeah. So at the time I saw how like this expanded. So we're chanting our job and our kirtan. It should be like that. We hear the kirtan. And then we should just see how we're like, you know, for example, if I say George Bush, right? Are you thinking of a short black girl with red hair? No, the rupa is there. I make a contrast, you appreciate, yeah, it's subtle, but it's there. What do you, George Bush? George Bush. Yeah. What is the rupa?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah. You see, I see a guy with a business suit on. I don't see somebody in a swimming bathing suit or a clown or something. You know, it's just, yeah, it's automatic. Krishna. Krishna? Krishna? Yeah. Okay. So we should chant like that. When we're chanting, the Nam should produce the rupa. And after that, there should be the qualities. What's Krishna like? You start feeling some association just to the mantra like that. And she chanting, you can tell that this person is sore in pastime activities. Somebody else is just a good physical workout. You can increase your adrenaline secretion. And it's okay. No, it should be more than just like pranayama. More than just it feels good.
Good sweat.
That's good. We'll go beyond that. So, Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
Parikrita Maha Mantra ki.
Yes.
Gaur Vibhadan.
Yes.
Remember Sat Sramana
ki.
Yes.
I'm Chagarwan ki. Host. Host and hostess ki. Mahaprasada ki. Tomorrow night. So tomorrow night we'll finish the book.
Today.
Text 9, 10, 11.
7, 7, 7. Oh, yeah. The one who wants to buy books is available right now. She goes home.
Okay.
And tomorrow we have a program with Maharaj in Sugarland. It's quite close to here, so please come again.
The last program.
Yeah.
The last limit of bhakti tomorrow night.
And then he's coming back in a week if you'd like to invite him to his home.
Oh, maybe not. We discussed it. Let's try to start next week, about. That's why I teach about abortions, nuclear abortion. It's a 1 week, 3 hours of class, and 3 hours of homework every day. Very nice. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah? Wow, Chicago, summertime.
Yeah.
I was there. Chicago is like New York without the glamour. I mean, you're getting robbed, and pollution, and everything else. This is Chicago. Anyway, it's getting, within 100 miles of Chicago, people lock their cars in the garage at night. So much like that. It's just a really. Is that some problems or some business problems? No, wait a minute. Family?
Yeah.
Family. Okay. Where are you in Chicago or where? Are you scattered?
Naperville.
Huh?
Naperville.
It's out in the suburbs. But also it's much older, too.
I think
so. Yeah, maybe there's some more development. It's older, and so it's kind of like a lot of very strong ethnic communities, Jewish community, Indian community. Yes.
So we'll come back and we'll have this program now.
Okay.
I haven't done it yet.
Your house stuck in the museum. It's in Bhakti Shastri. I respect him. Shastri. My Baba. Okay. Hum. Mandir ja rahe hain. I'm hitting you with a stick, right? And you say, why are you hitting me? I said, I'm not hitting you. The stick is hitting you. So no, but there's a connection. So because we're absorbing this body, then Krishna incarnates as a form in the material world. Incarnates as a sound. Incarnates as a logical form, logic. These are all material. So, but we, that can start to stimulate, wake up, purify the connection, get everything out until finally it's touching the heart, the flow is coming. So at that point we forget our senses. If somebody has glasses on, they don't even think about it. At that point we're thinking about Krishna all the time. And at that point there's no lust. Lust means that the energy is building up in the senses. Wants to release. So at that point I'm just doing this for Krishna. At that point we forget we have the body. And Krishna's there. It's not a statue. Krishna's actually there. So now we can see Krishna and our heart becomes more and more purified. And we also see Bahir Nisingho, Ridaye Nisingho. We see Krishna in the heart also. But at the beginning, because we're just absorbed in the external world, Krishna incarnates. But the main thing is it has this influence on the heart. And it changes the heart. So we're the driver of the car. Right? But to go someplace, we have to manipulate the car. But we're not the car. So that's the point, is that we use the body. Right? We're not the body, but we use it.
Yeah? So does the soul also take a body in when we go to, supposing to Vaikuntha?
You stop your car, you get out. Okay. Now I can be myself.
And how do they experience rasa and all that in Vaikuntha and Goloka?
Because they
don't have body.
When you get out of your car, I'm in a car, I can communicate with people by honking my horn, turning my turn signals on and off. But when I get out, I can talk to the person. Oh, hello, how are you? So when I get out of this body, then I can have my spiritual body has senses. I'm a cowherd boy, I'm a bird, whatever. So our spiritual body just comes out of this gross body. The car doesn't feel, the car doesn't make, blink its lights. The driver does that. If somebody comes out, he can express himself more. Right?
So is it right for me to assume that when I'm saying I'm not this body and I want to understand myself as a soul, then if I associate that with my spiritual body, will that be right, Maharaj?
You are your spiritual body.
Okay.
So I have to wake up. I have to get out of this. I'm water, absorbing a sponge. I'm not a round yellow sponge. I'm water. I can flow. I can fly. So yeah, that means.
But the different forms exist. But the different forms exist even in Goloka or in Vaikuntha. So
it was a reflection.
So what is that form then? That is a spiritual form.
Again, it's just, you know, the car has four wheels, we have two legs, you know. The car has eyes, it has lights, you know. The car has to remove rain. Why? Because our body is like this. Yeah. It's reflecting our body and how we move and stuff like that. Yeah. And so the same way when we get out of this body, you know, somebody's a cow, somebody's a piece of grass for Krishna, somebody's a bird for Krishna, somebody's a cowherd boy, gopi, gopa, you know, mother, father. And now we're just, you know, distorted in these forms like that. So, you know, as you begin to get attached, you begin to see who you are. You use your ghost body, but you're not attached to it anymore. Maybe you're supposed to be here to help to preach. So you enter into the body, play a part in the drama, to be, you know, to, other people are absorbing their bodies, so you got to learn. But you're not attached. It's avatars. They come into this world to teach. We're doing the exact opposite. We're getting out. But as we get out, we start to realize our form. You know, like 90%, you know, out. So now I can start to express spiritual things even through my body. We're on the spiritual platform.
So is it true that the soul expands in the spiritual world?
Yes, but there's no space in the spiritual planet.
That's right.
Space is the grossest element. There's no gross space.